T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. What's happening in the break? I'm letting Joe know that Matt Schaub once won an NFL passing title.
Matt Schaub led the league in passing?
Yes, that happened.
That is incredible.
In a year that you were on this earth, that happened.
Wow. He was like still in the league as of like last year, maybe.
Yeah.
Matt Schaub. He had 4,770 passing yards in 2009.
Andre Johnson helps.
Holy cow.
Jeremy White, Jody Biasi. On the Wester Hotline is Paul Hamilton. Paul, a thought for Matt Schaub. What do you think?
I got to admit, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he had won a passing.
Yep.
I was alive for that too, believe it or
That's
not.
Right. We all were, yeah.
And yeah, I didn't know that.
All right. Paul, when it comes to last night's Sabres game, I think it's a, you wipe the brow and you say, whew, you got out with 2 points. I mean, it's not great to give Detroit one if you're trying to chase down that team. But whatever, it's a good feeling after what was a pretty nasty collapse.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know what to say about this game. You can start with, for the first 46 minutes, they're fine. They're up 4-1. They're playing well. You know, they've got a shorthanded goal. They've got a power play goal. They're everything's going real well. And it takes 5 minutes and 40 seconds to go from 4-1 to 4-4. You know, Anderson made some great saves in that game, but. All right, he wants the Perron goal back. That one went through him, but that's only 4-2. But they keep coming. I mean, Dahlin wound up breaking his stick, so he can't cover Sundqvist on the first goal. Sundqvist's first goal. On the second one, Mittelstadt loses the draw. Anderson gets screened, and it's in the net. And in 5 minutes and 40 seconds, you go from 4-1 to 4-4. But you're not done yet. Now you're on your heels. Now you let them come at you, and now you take 3 consecutive penalties. So now I'm thinking, well, that's it. I mean, especially when you just wound up letting the Tampa Bay Lightning back into a game that you only got 1 point in because you allowed 3 power play goals out of 4 power plays. So here we go. Now you take penalties at 14:35, 17:10, and 17:44, and set the Red Wings up with a minute 27, 5-on-3, and you kill it. You somehow recover from all that, and you kill the penalties. By the way, you went 7-for-7 in penalty killing in that game with a goal. I mean, you scored a shorthanded goal along the way, and you get out of the period tied. And that now you have the puck almost the whole overtime, pretty much four of the 5 minutes. You control the puck, and you win it in a shootout.
Crazy game.
I mean,
I tweeted Paul right when that 5-on-3 was starting. More amazing if the Sabres win this game or lose this game, because they would have been down 3. Amazing if they lose it, but. Who thought they were winning that game after Detroit had scored 3 and then they were about to go on a 5-on-3 penalty
kill?
And
with the troubles the penalty kill has had. To have been perfect to that point, you think, like, you know, at some point this dam's going to break.
Yeah, and, you know, Anderson, again, he made the one mistake, but, you know, he was great on the 5-on-3. You know, he had to make the saves that he made. And, you know, Detroit, as I look back, had 13 shots on the power play. And they go 0 for the power play. And Buffalo actually did have 6 shorthanded shots and scored 1 shorthanded goal. You know, so it's just crazy. As I said, how do you evaluate the game? Do you sit there and kill them because they blew a 4-1 lead in 5 minutes and 40 seconds? Or do you give them credit for the first 46 minutes of the game where they basically had taken over the game and led it 4-1? And then after they got tied, they figured it out, killing off a 5-on-3. And don't forget, in the shootout, Detroit hit 2 posts.
Right.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, there's a number of players to talk about. I want to start with Dylan Cousins because he I don't know if he's taking large steps forward or just getting a little bit better in terms of the goal scoring results. But Cousins and Granato has been really high and complimentary of Cousins a lot, and you have as well, pretty much since he showed up. Like as a mature player, as a future captain kind of candidate. To my eye, it looks like Cousins is taking steps. Like we're seeing big steps from him.
Absolutely, and I think he's not doing all that much different except the puck's going in the net for him. I think that's maybe what the difference is. What, 3 goals now in the last 2 games? But his shorthanded goal is just a perfect example. You know, first of all, Craig Anderson knew he had the time where he could rip it off the wall. Now, he's not trying to pass the puck up to Cousins. He's trying to get the puck out of the zone on the shorthanded opportunity. He does so, and it winds up getting to Cousins. So, and then Cousins cuts behind the defense, and he gets in a foot race with Raymond, and it's just pure hustle. That's all it is just pure hustle where he can pull away, winds up scoring through the 5 hole, and it's just a really nice shorthanded goal through a lot of effort, and that's what you get out of Dylan Cousins. It's just a lot of effort. I mean, and the second goal, I mean, that line gets in on the forecheck, and they hem him in a little bit. And it was just the little nuance of that goal where Cousins understood where Peterka was. Peterka didn't have the pass right away. All Dylan Cousins does is back off just a bit. You can just see him looking at Peterka and gives him a lane to pass the puck by backing off. And the lane wasn't there until he backs off a little bit. Now Peterka's got the lane, puts the perfect pass over to him. And again, he gets a nice shot from distance and winds up scoring the goal. But it's just little nuances like that have helped him. He's a smart player, and I think he has also helped Peterka and Quinn along as being the old veteran of the line. He's the old man at 21, but he seems to thrive on that.
Yeah, that line has been very good since it's been put together. They create a lot of chances. They're fast. We were talking about some of their line combinations last hour, and Paul, it feels like they've got a lot of the lineup figured out, but 5-on-5, that middle stat line, I mean, that's the one right now, right, where they struggle a lot, they give up a lot of chances, because otherwise, you know, like the Cousins line, there's a lot to like, and the Thompson line obviously is incredible, might be one of the best lines in hockey. And then even the Jost line with Gergensen and Okposo, like, have their moments. I don't know, is the middle stat line for you the same? Like, just got to get better results?
Yeah, and in this game, too, this is the second game in a row where all 3 of those players play less than 10 minutes. Well, first game it was Asplund, second game it's Sinistrosa, but none of them get 10 minutes. And they were -2 with Asplund the last game playing less than 10 minutes. And we're on for whatever reason at like the 14-minute mark of the third period, and Tampa Bay scored. It's like by that time that line had basically been benched. Why did you throw them back out there? And, you know, Stamkos scores. Well, here they are again out there, and Mittelstadt loses the draw. The goaltender gets screened, and it's in your net. And now it's 4-4. That was the tying goal, you know. And Mittelstadt won 2 faceoffs and lost 8. They don't really have a great face-off guy, but still, you know, he was 2-8, so it's not like you're saying, okay, we got to get him out there to win a draw. So, they're just struggling mightily, and I don't understand. I think they have a lot more problems on that line than Rasmus Asplund, but he was the one that wound up coming out of the lineup after the game against Tampa Bay. But it's they are struggling mightily, and it just it doesn't appear to be getting better.
Would you see a situation where Peyton Krebs is getting back into the lineup, maybe for somebody on that line? And what, just in general, what do you think is happening with Krebs? Because at some point it's, okay, if he's going to be sitting out, why don't you just send him to Rochester?
Exactly. For the most part, I think Don Granato's a very good coach. And one of the things I admire about Don Granato is he's willing to try things. But this Krebs on the left wing thing has demolished this kid's confidence, absolutely demolished it. And you heard me talking about this last year. It wasn't working. He is not even close to an NHL left winger. He's just not. And I understand the thought process is, well, he's more valuable if he knows how to play wing and center. Well, he can't play wing. He's not very good at it, and it's totally shot his confidence. And even Granato said a couple of weeks ago, you know what? He is a better center than he is a wing. We're going to keep him at center. I think that lasted a game, and then he was back on wing again. And now he's to a point where you can't even put him in the lineup because he's just – and what I would do is, yes, I would send him to Rochester for just a couple of weeks and let him play a bunch of games at center, get his confidence back, and never put him on wing again. Never. He's just not an NHL winger, and he's not even close to one. And I just think it's destroyed his confidence right now. He'll figure it out. He's young enough. I don't think it's destroyed him as a player overall, but it's to a point now where they can't even put him in the lineup right now, and they figure, you know, and that's what they did with Cousins. Cousins was a point, too, where I thought to myself, you know what, maybe it's time to send him to Rochester for a little bit. Well, they were right about Cousins. It was pretty much right after I asked that question, Cousins started to get better. They were working with him, and he got better, and they feel the same way with Krebs, that, you know, he can work with the coaching staff and get better. But, you know, this one's backfired on Don Granato, in my opinion, I think big time. This putting him in wing and just the insistence upon putting him on wing, he is not an NHL winger. He's not even close. And he's got to play center or put him in Rochester.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Paul, when I asked Granato Tuesday about the goaltending situation, I kind of expected him to do this. He would not go after the goalies at all. Sometimes this team is in a spot where it looks like they really need a save. They don't get above average goaltending from really anyone. And again, Anderson did make some nice saves last night. I'm not actually making this about last night's game. My question is, Granato has been often, when we talk to him about, defense is easy. We'll figure that part out. We want to make sure these guys feel good enough to score. And they are a top five scoring team, and they give up a lot. So should we be surprised that they give up a lot based on the style? Is there any sort of adjustment that needs to be made? Or do they need to find the kind of goalie that can play the style that they play?
They go in shifts where, you know, they don't give up a lot of shots, and then all of a sudden it's like 45 shots they gave up last game against the Red Wings. And they're sure. I mean, Anderson, they don't win that game without Anderson, some of the saves he made. And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is when you need a save, he was there except for the Perron goal. He wasn't perfect, but other than that, he made a glove save that was absolutely coming across. It looked like that puck was in the net, and he came across and made a phenomenal glove save. And that's the kind of save I'm talking about, the big save at the big time. Not an easy save. Not a save that's a save that maybe he shouldn't make. That's what you need out of good goaltending, that at the right – get a save at the right time to help your team, to get them going. And in the 5-on-3, that was a perfect example. For a minute and 27, he held the fort, made some good saves. They were able to clear the puck a couple of times. And, you know, he made the save that helped his team get through that so they could win a hockey game. And that's what they need to see more of in their goaltending that, they haven't seen. I mean, Luukkonen has played three games. One was phenomenal. You got that from Luukkonen in that one game where he was absolutely fantastic. But the other two were below average games. And one was the Tampa Bay game. The Tampa Bay had a goaltender that was trying to hand you the game in Brian Elliott. When you play a goaltender as poorly as Elliott played, you got to win that game 10 out of 10 times. And they scored enough goals to win that game. But they couldn't get a save to save their lives in that game. And they wind up losing it because they can't get a save.
Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. Tonight, Colorado, big test there. Of course, the Bills play at the same time.
Now, am I going to be able, because what I do is I mute all the Bills reporters, so I don't see them on Twitter. Am I going to be able to start my DVR when I get home from the Sabre game and not know what's going on in the Bills
game? That is a tough one. Aren't they going to show highlight? They're going to show a highlight in the arena. They're going to give updates in the arena.
Yeah, right? I think in the arena, Paul, you're like, can
they'll show highlights in between periods, and I'm busy.
Okay,
so that'll be fine if they do that and just show it in between periods. That's not going to tip me off.
Okay,
all right.
So the game will be on in the press box, but it's far enough away from me where I don't have to look on that wall where the game is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other thing is,
if you think I can pull this off.
I don't think you have any chance.
I think you're an underdog. I think I think there are so many people up there, Paul, that like you kind of got to get the message out, right? Like, you don't tell me the score, because just someone walking by like, oh, can you believe? Can you believe? And then just whatever the fill in the blank is there.
Yeah, and somebody sitting in the stands right underneath you is going to high five and shout to his friend or her friend, hey, Allen touchdown, blah, blah, blah.
It's a tough one.
I'm also interested. Are we even going to see 5,000 people there?
It's a great question.
I mean, even people with tickets.
It's a tough ask.
You know, they're probably not going to be able to get rid of their tickets. And I'm not blaming fans if there are only 5,000 people there. I get it. I totally understand. Your team is playing a division. By the way, here we are December 1st, and the Bills will have played 3 division games all on the road. They still will not have had a home division game on December 1st. That is crazy.
Madness. Paul, are they going to win?
The Bills?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think they have a good chance to win that game. So I have no idea if they're going to win, but I think the only thing I don't like is Belichick has had a whole week to prepare. It would have been nicer if he would have gotten short week Sunday to Thursday to try to figure out what to do with the Bills. So Allen will see some new wrinkles, but Allen can handle that. I mean, he's not a rookie by any means, stretch of the imagination or anything like that. So, I think they should be fine.
All right. Paul Hamilton, thanks, Paul.
Okay, take care.
Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. I've got a couple of good tweets on this game on Bills Patriots. I wrote this morning on Twitter, got a bunch of response to this, and we'll continue talking about it. I don't think the game is a must win for the division, for the conference, for the playoffs, even to say like they can or can't win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But I do think it's a must win if we're going to talk about them like they should be a favorite. Favorite to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs, by the way, are now the favorite.
Yeah.
They've taken over.
Yeah.
If we're going to keep talking about the Bills like they are on that level, they have to win tonight. You can't go 0-3 in the division. You can't lose to Mac Jones in the same season you lose to Kirk Cousins and Zach Wilson. And I say that because self-inflicted wounds and beating yourself, okay, I can get by that 2 or 3 times. I don't think New England wins this game and looks just better than the Bills. It would be because of their own mistakes. And eventually, Joe, your own sloppiness on offense. We're now into December, and if you're still sloppy and still not right offensively and find a way to lose against New England, I think you've got problems big enough to kind of knock you down off of the idea, at least me, I'll be knocked down pretty far off the idea that they're on the level to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Of course, they will be able to. They got to, you know, you find your rhythm, you can do it. But
especially when, like, everything New England does defensively seems to mesh well with what the Bills do well, right? Like, Diggs is just a man beater. Like, you cannot cover him with man coverage. Like, he is maybe for his entire career been one of the best receivers in football at getting open against man coverage. And the Patriots run a lot of that. So the matchup has always presented well. The only difference here is you might have, you know, a difference in how much they're able to get after the quarterback, because no Deion Dawkins, Matthew Judon's having a great year, although he was there last year too. So it feels like they gotta get right in this game, because everything matchup wise, except for the offensive line part, says you should be able to score as many points as you can fit into one game against this team. And that's exactly what's happened in a couple of games in a row. So McKenzie's had his big games against the Patriots, right? Like, his style fits for it. And Allen runs the ball well against Belichick defenses. And I'm not really worried about Belichick and, like, time to prepare. And, like, he'll figure out a game plan. He's had how many days to develop game plans against this Bills defense and just has not found an answer in 3 years other than make the wind be 50 miles per hour. It's got to get right tonight. It's got to get right tonight. 30 plus points.
Yeah.
Got to see it.
The Bears put up 33.
Right.
I said that earlier. Here's it. I like this sentiment. And this kind of takes it a little further and will be a talking point if they lose, which I think they'll win. Tweet. As we connect with our fans, this is from Third Down Guy. Then go Third Down Guy. The Super Bowl talk goes out the window with a loss tonight. To expect the Bills to get to the Super Bowl as a 5 seed and win 3 road playoff games when they haven't won one yet under McDermott, I don't know. I think that's they have not won a road playoff game. Does that mean they can't? No. They pretty much had the game won in Kansas City. They also had the game won in Houston. Lost both those games.
Right.
So I don't have any doubt if they were to open the playoffs and go to Tennessee, they could win that game. Or even Miami or Baltimore, right? But the point is not a bad point at all. You've never won a single road playoff game, and you'd have to win 3 to get where your season is supposed to
go. That for me a lot is like the one score game thing, though. Like, that just can be so easily overcome, and you can go from, oh, they can't win one score games, to, oh, they win 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And you can go from, oh, they can't win a road playoff game, to, they win 3 in a row. Like, they could do that.
Sure.
They could easily do that, especially if they went, Titans, and then, like, Dolphins, and then, I mean, Chiefs would probably be the third one. That's the one. This is where you know things are a little bit problematic. We're not asking ourselves, what would they look like against the Chiefs right now? Like, we're worried about other things. And they beat the Chiefs, so that's a part of it. But everything was comparing yourselves to the Chiefs. And now it's just, what's wrong? The Dolphins. The division. Seeding.
Well,
road playoff games.
To the point about the Chiefs. And again, like you said, they beat the Chiefs. If they win tonight, they're 9-3, and we're cruising. We're going to expect to beat the Jets, set up the Mammoth. But if they lose tonight, all of a sudden, it might be going a little far, but all of a sudden the any given Sunday talk might be applied to Bills Chiefs. Right? Like, the Chiefs lost that game. Anybody can beat anybody on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like, the Chiefs lost to the Colts. They lost to the Bills. They made some mistakes. Mahomes threw a red zone interception. When Allen throws a red zone interception, what do we say? Like, oh, if he hadn't done that, they'd have been fine. Mahomes threw a red zone interception in that game on the first possession they had.
Yeah.
They made their mistakes. They beat the Lions. Lions missed a field goal. I don't know. Just win. Just win. Get these feelings away from me. I don't want these feelings.
If they win 20-10 tonight, you're gonna have this. You're still gonna have these feelings tomorrow.
I'm gonna be fine. I pledge, any win is okay. The next 3 games, any win is okay, because we mentioned on Tuesday, the number of teams in the NFL that win 3 straight games over teams that are over 500, 3 consecutive weeks.
Yeah.
It's a tough league to win. We know that. The Bills are 8-3. I pledge to you, have no complaints as long as they win.
Right. You're right. If they're 11-3,
yes.
But the offense still doesn't look right, it might sound stupid to say something's wrong.
Well, I still might say something's wrong. If they win tonight 6-3, we start the show tomorrow morning. You're like, huh, how you feeling over there? I'm like, it's fine. If win's a win. 6-3 is great.
A trembling.
Yeah. It's a one-score game win. Yeah, it's what you all wanted. All right, Jeremy White, Jody Biasi, you can join us on the phones, 803-0550. Light them up. What do you think about this game? Anybody feeling good, bad, on edge, anything. It's a barometer game because, gloriously, they generally dominate New England. And tonight, I hope they do. More of your calls, texts, tweets, all of it on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Cousins skates ahead of him. Far circle shot stopped by Nedeljkovic, and the rebound comes to Paterka. For Cousins with a shot, scores! The fun line is having some fun in Detroit City as Dylan Cousins gets his second of the night. And the Sabres extend the lead to 3-1 with 11:48 to go in the second period.
Gives the speed, pressure, and an excellent heads-up play by J.J. Paterka on the near wall here to find Cousins.
Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray on the call. Moments of the game brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. We'll check in with Sal Capaccio at the top of the hour. He's in New England. Bills at Patriots.
He stays in Providence when he goes there. Not Boston.
Okay.
It's the same distance, I guess. Foxborough is like right in between the two.
It's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Foxborough is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to Patriot Place once. Had lunch. There was a CBS restaurant, like CBS Sports restaurant was there at the time.
Just for lunch, or you went there for a game?
No game. I was visiting a roommate, college roommate. He lives in Massachusetts, and it was like, hey, you want to go to the stadium? So yeah, just went and did that. Do you ever do that? Like if you're in a spot, you're wherever you might be vacationing, and you can see the stadium, even though the team's not there. You go to see the stadium. You can tour the stadium. I did this in Barcelona to tour.
That's cool.
Famous stadium, Fenway Park, right? Like maybe the Red Sox aren't home, but hey, would you like to go see the stadium?
I've never done this. My brother, as an Eagles fan, we went to Philadelphia in high school, and I would have toured that. I definitely would have toured that because there is a picture of young me standing in front of Trent Edwards' locker just because I thought that would have been funny.
When he was with the Eagles?
When he was with the Eagles as their backup quarterback. Otherwise, I don't think so. I am going to Foxborough for a concert in May. So I will be there, and I'll have a taste of, middle of nowhere, I guess.
What's the show?
Taylor Swift.
Oh, wow.
We did manage to get through that hellscape of a queue of 4 hours that took, and did end up getting tickets. So, Foxborough.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I feel like we won the lottery because it feels like nobody on earth that was trying to get tickets to any of those shows got tickets. We've managed.
Connect with our fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelbert and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Paul in Buffalo. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Jerry. I just wanted to bust on you a little bit because I do love you. You're great. I listen to you guys all the time. But when you say things like the Bills, you're not going to complain no matter what the win is, I would just like to hear what you're going to say tomorrow morning. If they won, where everybody punted, our offense looked like doggy do, like their offense did too. The only score was made by the defense where – let's just say they fumbled it, they fell on the ground, and we got a safety, and the Bills win 2-0 tomorrow morning. You're going to say, that's a good win. We got to win.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Thanks, Paul. Hold on. Let me see if that's scoreigami. That's my first question.
2-0?
A game has definitely ended 2-0 before, right?
Probably in the 20s at least, right?
You think that many games have been 2-0?
Yeah, I'm going to guess more than a couple.
Two games have ended 2-0. One, the Bears beat the Packers 2-0. In 1938.
Okay. Yep.
And
that sounds right.
The Akron Pros beat the Buffalo All-Americans 2-0 in 1923. So that means revenge game. Buffalo wins 2-0. We need a 2-0 win. No, thanks, Paul.
2-0 I really need to pull up that box score.
I'll be honest. I'm trying to talk myself into if the offense looks bad or not great, but they win, everything's okay. So I'm kind of doing that for myself. But I want to talk myself into big picture of these three games are very important. I want a home playoff game. I went to one last year. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I want at least one more this year. And maybe two, right? Like, how about two this year? Can that happen? Last year, they only got one.
Right.
Can they?
You got to be the two seed.
We've been so focused on the one seed. Can I have the two seed?
Yeah.
The two seed gets two home playoff games.
What are their odds of winning the division and not being the two seed, though? That would be falling behind Tennessee or Baltimore or Cincinnati.
Or Cincinnati, who's playing really well.
Yeah.
You know, it strikes me, we talk about the one seed all the time, and last year the two seed would have been nice. Kansas City was the two seed.
Yeah. If you go to Football Outsiders, their odds, they have them split up by seed, where your percentage chance of landing in each seed. You want to guess where the Bills' most likely seed is as of today?
I know, a week ago the most likely seed was the 5 seed, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what you told me. All right, what do you got?
It's the one seed.
Okay, good.
25.2%. Very close behind is the 2 seed at 24.9%, then the 5 at 23.7. So
it's kind of like if you win the division, you'll be in the top 2, and if you don't win the division, you're not getting 3 or 4.
Right. The 3 seed is 4.9%. The 4 seed is less than 1%.
That makes sense, because the AFC South winner is going to be like the 4 seed.
Probably, right. And you're a game up on the AFC North, and you have the tiebreaker over Baltimore if you want it.
Okay.
The Cincinnati game, you still have to play them. But, yeah, essentially, if they win the division, it's going to be the 1 or the 2, more times than not. But the win the division is still an if.
Yeah.
They do have, I guess 55%. 55% to win the division at Football Outsiders. Miami at 29%. Jets at 10 and Patriots at 5. So, you know, it's still a battle. You're still almost 50-50 to do it. But that's a big disparity, right? Like, one or two seed, you have two home playoff games.
Two home playoff games.
Or you get 0.
It's funny. We talk about the one seed like, all you got to do is, you know, win 2 games and you're in the Super Bowl. I mean, 2 home playoff games as the 2 seed, you are in the AFC Championship, and there's a chance you are at home again.
Right, Kansas City doesn't. You'd think they probably will, but they don't have to. They lost to the Bengals last year.
Yeah.
They would probably play the Bengals before they would play the Bills.
Or they could lose to the Dolphins.
Or the Titans, who they lost to last year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no guarantee they make it through if they're the one. So, you know, to your larger point, though, I just want to, I'll reserve the right to next week say, all right, what's going on with the offense? But I want to say,
if they win 2-0,
I'm trying to pledge today. But in reality, if they win 19-13,
yeah,
good job defense. How do I not look at Ken Dorsey in the offense? This team with the last coordinator never punted.
Yeah.
And sure, New England would have made adjustments. It's a different year. How do I not look at that as some sort of sign things aren't what they were before offensively? This Bills offensive drift, Joe, from 2020 to be, you know, if you were going like offensive overall score, they were better in 2020 than they were in 2021. And then this year, they're a little worse again. So I've got 3 years of a slow downward decline in their offensive output and efficiency and all that. And I, you know, it's still high. It's still good. I just don't want that trend to keep going. I want to find a way to get back there. The Chiefs right now have an offense that is better than it has been without Tyreek Hill. With Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
They're going to, they lose Hill and Kelsey becomes more powerful. It's a little bit of what's happened with Diggs, right? Like things have thinned out and Diggs has become even better. So I'm in my feelings. What can I tell you? I'm in my feelings about this game tonight. The Patriots do this to me.
I've fallen down a rabbit hole of the 1923 Buffalo All-American season, by the way. Football back then was wild.
How were they in close games?
They let me read you some of their scores from that year. The Buffalo All-Americans from 1923 finished the season 5-4-3, by the way. They lost their opener 3-0. Then they won 9-0. Then they won 3-0. Then they won 57-0. Then they
against who? Who'd they beat?
The Boorang Indians.
Okay.
Then they tied 0-0, tied 3-3. Wow.
You would have thought after 57 they had some momentum going in the next game.
Yep.
To get shut out, that's tough.
There's that loss to the Akron Pros, 2-0.
Still mad about that one.
Then they tied 3-3, and then they won 13-0. What's that 57-0 doing in there? What was that game?
We should have brought this up tomorrow when Howard's here. He can tell us about the games. Scott in Rochester. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me. I think if they lose this game, they're absolutely a wild card team. I don't see how you can go start out 0-3 in your division and still win the division, number one. Number two, I really need to see a quick passing game tonight. Without Deion Dawkins and Matthew Judon on the other side, I'm not expecting good things from the offensive line. They haven't been great this year. I've been very disappointed in Spencer Brown. I really hope Dorsey can adapt and not let Allen just sit in the pocket and get killed, because I think that's going to not be a good look for Dorsey. I don't want to say I'm going to be over him if that's the game plan. If he still insists on sticking with slow developing plays to the outside, but I'm looking at Frank Reich's application if that's what he does tonight. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. To this point, we talked to yesterday about the Dolphins' passing offense. That one thing they're able to do is have a downfield passing game on quick developing plays because they're faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing the Bills have not really done a lot of is get a lot of speed. We know McKenzie is fast, but if you go back to last year's game in Gillette, Joe, and look at all those crossers that McKenzie hits, he's running all the way across the field.
Oh, yeah.
And they are not fast developing plays. He's in man coverage, and Allen needs to stand there, wait, and then drop the ball into the bucket on throws that start left side and go right side or vice versa. And they are beautiful throws and catches, but that's your speed guy in the slot winning man matchups, but they did take time to develop.
Yeah.
I don't know that the same exact formula is going to work if you can't hold up in pass protection.
This is where you'd really want – I mean, he's a fifth-round rookie, but Shakir feels like he's more – his skill set is more capable and able for, okay, ball's got to come out quick. You know where he is. Sure-handed. Just quick 5-yard out. Like, Shakir feels like if he ever gets good, that's going to be him. But, I mean, this is why we're worried about the receiving core, right? You're at a fifth-round rookie maybe needing to do that because McKenzie and Allen just don't seem to be on the same page on those quick throws, those timing patterns. And that is... That will make the recipe of the Patriots getting after Allen tonight even more dire. Is you don't have a guy where Allen gets the ball out quick. I mean, but it's been the running back. It's been Singletary. And that's not a good spot to be, where you're just dumping the ball off because you don't have time to get McKenzie on those crossers. You don't have time for Diggs to have his route develop and get open down the field.
Also, due respect to Singletary, it's not a good sign when your quick passes have been to Singletary when you have made efforts to get two different pass-catching backs on the team.
Yeah.
And he's not the pass-catching back that is supposed to be threatening like that, and you don't get it consistently to Hines or James Cook. Maybe it's a James Cook game, you know? Maybe they find a way. Happy the defense seems to be getting back there. I'm very, very happy about the return of Tremaine Edmonds.
Oh, yeah.
That's
big.
Huge. Yeah. And one thing Joe Marino brought up with us on Wednesday was how Mac Jones under pressure. Well, they don't have Vaughn, but they can still generate pressure from their tackles, and if they send blitzes, they get through with Edmonds, Milano. Like, those two have been disruptive on blitzes in the backfield quite a bit this year. So we'll see what Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott dial up, but just want to, shout out to the defense, and I'm very happy that Tremaine Edmonds is back.
And if you look at the Patriots and where they succeed, a lot of it is over the middle of the field. Jacoby Myers over the middle of the field out of the slot, and it's Hunter Henry. And if you look at Mac Jones' passer rating by where he throws the ball at Next Gen Stats, his number one spot is the middle of the field between 10 and 20 yards. He has 137 passer rating when he's throwing to that spot. The league average is 87.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the other areas, he's terrible. Like, on the sidelines, that same distance, he's at a 17.
Yeah, they're going to try and force the ball out there and funnel the ball to the sidelines.
Right, and you've seen plays by Tyrell Dodson in the past couple of weeks where he's in position, but he just doesn't have the length to make the play. Edmonds, I mean, he could be in the same spot Tyrell Dodson's in, but just because he's 4 inches taller, he's going to get a hand on that ball.
Sal Capaccio, top of the hour. More of your phone calls. We have an update on Von Miller and the injury that he has and what it might mean to play through it, play with it. So stay tuned. We'll get you some of that information as well. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi here on WGR. Before we get a call quick, so Fleetwood Mac in the news. Christine McVie passes away at age 79. I actually had a Fleetwood Mac thing to bring up today. Jeremy White, Jody Biasi.
Maybe you already had a Fleetwood Mac
thing. I already had a Fleetwood Mac thing to say to you and to everybody out there. So maybe you have Spotify. Maybe you listen to the show. Somebody wrote to me that, hey, my number one podcast is I listen to you guys. Spotify. You download the show on Spotify. Spotify tells you your number one artist, who you've listened to all year, and where that ranks. Well, Joe.
Yep.
I'd like you to guess what percentile I am in, and by me, it's my wife's account. What percentile are we in of Fleetwood Mac listeners?
What percentile?
Yeah, you've listened to X number of minutes of Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
What percentile is that in? The top.
Wait, I guess I'm still confused by your question.
The top 10%. You listen to, you're in the top 10%.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Your first guess is 10%.
Yeah.
Higher.
Okay. 30%.
The numbers would go lower.
Oh, okay. 5%.
Higher.
3%.
Higher.
1%?
Higher.
0.2.
Higher.
What is number one?
0.05%. The top 500ths of a percent of Fleetwood Mac listeners, our account. The kids sleep to Fleetwood Mac all the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is good sleeping music.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good mellow out music.
They have a song that's in a commercial that's going around right now.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I haven't had stuck in my head for like 3 weeks. That is. Did you do like how many minutes that is?
It's like 4,000 minutes of Fleetwood Mac. Shouldn't the band call us? Shouldn't we get a thanks?
for 4,000 minutes? If you're in the top
0.05% of Fleetwood Mac.
How many people would that be? 100?
I think we might be one.
If you were number one, what would it say?
I don't know.
Maybe it would say top 0.05. It's high it goes.
I want a phone call. I want a thanks.
Number one fan something. Yeah.
Our number one song, our top five is like, it's a bunch of Elton John and Fleetwood Mac. The kids sleep to 70s rock. That's what they like.
Yesterday was Spotify Rap Day where it's...
Yeah, that's how we found all this out. Yeah.
I listened last year to 27,000 minutes of podcasts.
Wow.
It's a lot. I did the math. I Googled it, how many days worth. 18 days worth of podcasts. That I listened to last year. Big podcast listener. The music, I don't know if you saw this, my music got hijacked by former morning show producer Zach Jones and myself, because I did this to myself. The soundtrack to AFC Reverse Power Rankings on Chopin the Bulldog on Tuesdays is a certain football soundtrack that we found on Spotify, and it's been bookmarked in the internet browser since they started it, and we just hit the button and then we play it.
Does it hear number one song?
I've been logged in this entire time. So I went to see my top five songs, and it was the Monday Night Football theme, and then another football bed, and then another five football beds hijacked my Spotify Wrapped. Terrible.
I was just happy ours was not five different versions of White Noise, because we also play that to get babies to fall asleep. Kids, almost two now, to fall asleep. 803-0550. We'll get a break in. David, stick with us. We'll get your phone call. Sal Capaccio joining us on the other side. It's Bills, Patriots. We'll talk to Sal from Gillette as we take it closer and closer. I'm about 12 hours and change from kickoff between the Bills and Patriots here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run.
the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.